Hey, welcome everybody to another podcast session of the Joe's Bot Podcast. We have Jason Moreno, producer, songwriter, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Jason, welcome to the podcast, man. Thank you for coming.
Thank you, Joe's Bot, for having us up here, man. Appreciate it.
How do you like this music right here?
Hey, that's some great tunes, man. That's a good backbeat right there. Maybe we'll put some country lyrics on it, though.
Yeah. Jason, man, thank you for joining us, man, and it's been a pleasure. You are an individual with a lot of content with regards to music, and we're going to talk music today, man. Tell me about that, man. What are you currently working on right now?
Man, we've been in Nashville for the last, 6 months, back and forth. We've got a lot of good music coming out, but as the industry dictates, you know, nobody puts out albums, complete albums anymore. So our format's a little bit different. We're putting out one single at a time, completely branded. It each its own album cover, its own merchandise, its music video. And we just released our first one called Heartbreak Song. We're heading back to Nashville mid-December to wrap up our second single, which will come out sometime maybe end of January. Something like that. But yeah, so, you know, we've recorded two albums before here locally. You know, it gives great experience, but this nothing compares to Music Row, man. It's just been an amazing, amazing experience for us.
So nobody makes albums anymore? I mean, I go back to the days of vinyls, CDs.
Yeah. But with the digital age, you know, You don't buy. I mean, we have the capability of doing it, but everybody buys one song at a time. You know, 99 cents on iTunes or whatever, $1.29 if you're a rock star. But you know, it's just easier when you're putting the stuff together and you're producing these things to do it one at a time. You get pay a lot more attention to one song. The details are there, and if you hear the song Heartbreak Song, you can. I mean, there's so much detail in the song, even though it sounds big and huge, there's tons and tons of detail. I think there's 7 layers of guitar on there. So it's just, you know, you get to be creative nowadays. And it's just, I think it's good for the musicians. It's bad because, yeah, I'm used to buying CDs and vinyls and, you know, getting 12 songs on a CD, you know, but.
And hoping that one hits, right?
Hoping that one's hit, but yeah, those days are gone. You know, back in the day when they had the 45s, you had the what they call the throwaway, which was the B side, and then you had the main single on the A side, right? But you know, nowadays it's one song at a time, man.
So Jason, man, when you say you guys are working on this one song that you guys put out, Are you a part of the band? Are you the booking agent? Are you the writer? What role do you play with Bucking Crazy?
Well, I took over the band management maybe 7-8 years ago, and I performed with the band with Roy Torres and Bucking Crazy for all that time. We wrote music, but we never recorded it, so we were mainly what they call a cover band. And we had original content, but again, it wasn't published. It was a regional kind of a thing. We didn't own the rights to those first two albums, and the guy who owns the rights doesn't want us to use them. So it was very, very, hard lesson to learn. So my role now with the band, I own a company called Bucking Crazy Productions. We produce the music for Bucking Crazy or Roy Torres and Bucking Crazy band. I also still perform, but my role has changed more to as an executive type of producer. I'm writing also our next single called A Girl Like That, which drops at the end of January, is a completely 100% original one of mine that I wrote. Of course, when you're working in the music industry, there's this little known fact. If anybody's in the room when you're having that creative process, they automatically become a co-writer. So I think Roy sneezed in one session or something, and he's co-writer also. And then we've been blessed to work with, you know, the Valley has so much talent. There's so many guys out there pushing and working it hard and trying to get their music heard. You know, I could I could name a few, but there's so many guys out there in all sorts of genres. But we've been lucky. We got picked up by Johnny Garcia, who is the lead guitar player for Garth Brooks, mm-hmm. Trish Yearwood. And he's a local guy. He's from Weslaco, Texas. He now lives in Nashville. He's lived in Nashville, you know, for the last 30 years, performed with these major acts, but he's kind of taken a liking to our music, to our style. And he's the producer on music and some kind, he's the composer. But it's all original content now. It's coming from the Valley. It's here, you know, and we're taking it up there and they're putting it all together for us. And so we have 100% say as an independent artist, mm-hmm. we have 100% say in what the music sounds like. If you record with a label or with somebody else, you got to do what they want. But as an independent, you know, we're able to be more creative. So hopefully everybody enjoys. I think we've gotten a great response on Heartbreak Song. So my role has, you know, has evolved over the years. You know, now it's I've got other bands that I manage also and help promote. My main role is as the executive producer for Buckin' Crazy. Yeah.
So, you know, you mentioned a lot of the freedom to do things and that most recently I was having a conversation with respect to wrestling, man. And we were talking about like where wrestling has gone from before to now. And that was one of the topics that came to be where we said, you know what, wrestling isn't the same, because back in those days, they were given the freedom to create a storyline. Yeah. And now it's like, this is a cookie cutter that yeah. is scripted and you got to do as is and follow the rules and follow the orders. Heartbreak Song by Roy Torres and Buckin' Crazy. So if I'm understanding correctly, you took the name of Buckin' Crazy, the band that you were with, and you just made it your own production company, or is that the way it goes?
Well, yeah. I mean, we were performing Roy and Buckin' Crazy. I mean, it's uh-huh. the same thing, right?
But right.
we were performing. We were doing 250, 260 shows a year, you know, for 5-6 years.
Wow.
You know, in the dives, in the cantinas, in the dance halls, you know, anyone that would, you know, we were out there.
Right.
We worked.
Right.
We worked it. We were in the trenches, but we had nobody paying attention to the business side.
Correct.
Which, you know, I was like, look, enough of the bar diving, man. Let's do something with this music. Let's do something with this talent. So I assumed that role. Marketing and publishing is my background, you know, when I was an adult in my adult life. Now, kind of regressing now, I think, but yeah, so I assumed that role and, you know, I'm learning as I'm going and we make mistakes, but
yeah,
you know, to go and hire a publicist and to go and hire a marketing person and to go and hire a radio promoter. And, you know, unfortunately the music business is a pay to play kind of a thing and it's cutthroat. And, you know, if you don't have these guys on your payroll, you don't get any spins, but we've been lucky enough to do it on our own. And do it our way.
Wait. You mean to tell me La Politica exists in the music industry too?
Man, I'm gonna get so much shit for this. Oh, I can't say that. But yeah, man, it's a pay to play, man, and it's, that's why a lot of these guys going independent, and you know, social media has kind of hurt the music industry when it comes to music sales, but when it comes to exposure. I mean, we've got worldwide exposure right now. I think we have something like 2,000 spins in Australia.
Wow.
And when we look at our metadata, all the data, the analytics from all of the music clearinghouses, it's all over the world right now. And Germany and Bulgaria and Australia. And we've got all this exposure worldwide. But when it comes to radio, which still controls music, it's a little bit political, man.
Wow. Let's take a listen to Heartbreak Song, Roy Torres and Buckin' Crazy. Let's listen to a cut real quick and just guide us to what the process is, or just tell us what you want to tell us about this song. Here we go. Mm-hmm.
There you go. Now you're ready.
Driving down a goodbye road, scanning through the radio.
Yeah. Now you're ready. Hey, man, we might take you on tour with us.
We could do podcasts on the bus, man.
Right. Hell yeah. We got the radio.
Dying for some steel guitar. And I hear somebody falling
on apart. The guitar there, that's Johnny Garcia playing.
Okay. He's a guy from Westlake, right?
Yeah. Garth Brooks guitar. Guitars.
But nobody's singing my love gone wrong. But being as lonely as the night.
Big sound.
Yeah. That's very clean. Wow,
so the song was written by Johnny and a fellow by the name of Adam Wood, who's, when we heard this song, the demo track, Adam's voice was on it. And oh my God, we didn't want to touch it because it sounded so beautiful.
Right.
And then Greg Crow was the third co-writer. They presented this song to us because we were going up with some originals and we weren't ready. We didn't have the composition ready yet. So we went with something that was one of their songs, and we listened to maybe about songs, and we picked this one. And they wrote it about 10 years ago, and we fell in love with it instantly. And we did make a few changes to kind of bring it back home to Texas style country, because it was before, it was kind of really big Nashville sound, and still got it a little bit, but we're trying to bridge the gap a little bit, because you got Nashville country and you got Texas country,
and then you got real Grand Valley country, which is led by Country
South
Roland,
Texas,
right?
Country, exactly. South Texas. We had a show this weekend, and we had, I mean, you've ever heard Alabama, you got a fiddle in the band. Well, in South Texas, you got to have an accordion in the band.
Yeah.
So we brought in one of the hometown boys, and he played with us, Ernie Bravo, this weekend, and we had a show, a release party for the video. And you know, it's a regional thing, but it's our sound. And you know, this next single is actually going to have accordion on it. We recorded it originally with a mandolin, those parts, but we've kind of decided to replace it and kind of keep to our roots. We've got Frankie Caballero, senior, who's laying down the accordion track for us. So it's called A Girl Like That, and it'll be out in about 60 days. So
you said that's coming out in January, am I correct? 2021.
Yeah.
Right,
yeah. End of January. Yeah, we'll have a new single coming out about every 4 months for the next 12, maybe 18 months. Yeah.
You know, it, the interesting part of all of that is that, you know, there's individuals that go in there with no plan of action whatsoever, and they'll just start releasing. They got a lot of content, and they just start releasing one after another, after another, after another.
Yeah.
And then they're filled with this whole selection of a discography, but nonetheless, nobody's listening. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So
yeah, our goal again, we were gonna put out a branded song, you know. So we put out the song, we put out the video, we put out branded merchandise. Can you see that?
Oh. You know?
Yeah.
Where can I get one of those?
I got one for you, man. But I mean, we sell them online on our Buckin' Crazy page, Facebook, or anybody. I mean, we don't have a store or anything yet.
Right,
we're not that organized yet. But you know, the song in just a couple weeks from release has almost 20,000 spins. And by spins, I mean, that's unique times that there's 20,000 people that have heard it, and they've probably heard it more than once. So there's actually more exposure, but those are unique, you know. And when we released the music video on Saturday, within 24 hours, we had almost 3,000 views. So I think people like it. I hope people like it. And, you know, if video comes a call in and they want to put it on the radio, we'll be happy to do that. I think they'll come around in a couple of months. We've got a radio tour that one of our promoters is working on now. We are actually signing with a big time radio promoter. You got to do it, man. If you want your music to get heard, you got to play the game, man.
That was my next question, because fun fact, Joe Zabad used to be a DJ.
Oh, really? Yeah. What station?
Well, I used to work in TV at a local station. I don't think I'm free to say the station's name or whatever, but nonetheless, like, I was at a lot of bars and clubs in this whole area.
Yeah.
And one of the things that I always made a point to is, let me listen to the up and coming individuals, because exposure for them is a good thing for our area, for our community.
So we've got, what can I say, radio stations on the line, or?
I don't know. I don't know the rules on this. I'm not going to lie to you.
I don't know either, but you know, we've had a couple of regional radio stations give us a lot of support. Right. The local country station in the Rio Grande Valley has played our regionals. They do it on a certain time where they play everybody.
Right.
We're not in the, what do they call that? The general,
the major market area. Yeah. You're not in the major market area yet.
Yeah. So they do it. And I think it's Friday nights. They play all the local guys stuff. So, you know, one of the stigmas of performing so much in just one region has been you get branded as a folk band, a folk hero, folk legend, or folk band, or, you know, you're tied to that region.
Right.
It was very difficult to get out of that, and people wanting to hire us and thinking that we're a local band. And, you know, it's been tough. So, but I think now with a product that we're delivering to the public, people are going to realize, you know, we're legit, you know?
Yeah. I mean, there, nothing could be further from the truth, because when you're saying, you know, well, you guys started off as a cover band, and now you're saying, well, we write our own content, and, you know, we're here. And so now book us. So that, I think that's probably where you're trying to get over. Right. Yeah. I'm not going to lie to you.
It's a hard market to get out of.
I'm not going to lie to you. When I was listening to Buck and Crazy, I'm over here as well, thinking that it's a cover band. But, you know, once I heard that you guys were dropping with the video, and there's a big difference, because when you're official, you have a video.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And that's completely different.
Yeah. And the video is just amazing, man. It's, if you got the chance to watch it, it's almost like a small movie, a short film. Our director, Jason Johnston, who's been a part, you know, I used in the back in the day when I did, you know, commercial production, you know, for different companies, you know, he was always my camera guy, my director of photography. And now he's kind of, you know, he's gone and did some work, national work with, you know, the Discovery Channel. He did some stuff with National Geographic, and, you know, so he's just so creative. And I tell him what my vision is. I say, I want people to feel this way when they see it. And he just knows how to put the camera and the lighting and set the mood. And he just hit it nail on. And that's exactly the feeling I wanted people to have when they watched the video. And he told the story exactly how I wanted them to see it. And, you know, it, you know, with Roy is so goddamn talented. Oh, did I cuss? I'm sorry. Let me do that so you can edit that out.
You're fine, man. We're good.
Roy is so talented. You know, he's people are just naturally drawn to him and his voice, and he's come a long way too. And, you know, sorry, couldn't get him here today, but he, you know, he's going places, and I'm glad to be a partner with him on this deal. And, you know, we make a great team. He's the talent, he's the front man, and I'm the muscle behind it. And you know, we get it going, man. So it works. Well, it's working out really well.
You're hitting on the topic of partnerships and collaboration. I mean, nothing could be further than the truth. And when these two things happen and coexist in unison, man, shoot.
Oh yeah.
It's amazing.
Yeah. And you know, this whole pay for play thing, and you know, it's expensive. La Politica. Well, even to produce a great product, man, it takes money, you know, it takes money. And even just to get in the studio, you know, and with a name like Johnny, it, you know, he's got to make his money too.
Right.
But we've got some great partners, you know, local guys, 5x5 Brewing Company in Mission, Texas, they've endorsed them. We got an endorsement deal, and they're just,
I got that shirt right here.
You got the shirt on. You can't see it, but it's it's a bunch of veterans, and they make some great beer, and they're in it for the long haul. They heard us, and they believe in us, and they've jumped on board, and so they've helped us finance some things. We've got a couple of boutiques that are Western Wear down here, Southern Comfort, and Dos Chicas, supporting us like crazy financially. And also, promotion wise and exposure wise, they're pushing for it. And these are all local people coming together to support each other. And in return, we're promoting their products as well. But to make something beautiful, make it happen, you know, because we don't have the big wallet that some of those bigger bands have that can just jump in the studio whenever they feel like it. You know, it's not a poor man's game, you know? The partnership has been great, and we've had others, you know, back in the day. Mustang Lounge they financed one of our singles way back then, you know, when, and, you know, there's been plenty of support, and we just feel the love. And, you know, I commented on Facebook the other day. I said, man, I'm so overwhelmed by all of the support from the Valle, you know, from our raza, you know. They're like, oh man, these hometown boys are going after it, man. Let's help them out. And so we've been blessed, man. We've been blessed, brother, to have that, you know.
Well, I mean, we always root for the home team, or at least I like to think that, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Now where are we headed? So your guys right now are on streaming services such as Spotify, iTunes, Tidal. Are you all on all those?
Yeah, we've got, you know, Spotify, iTunes, Deezer, TouchTunes, all the major. I think there's like 45 different platforms that we're on.
Okay.
You know, just search it up under Roy Torres, Bucking Crazy, or Heartbreak Song, and it'll be out there. We're waiting on our radio tour of the song. So it hasn't been released to radio. They can pick it up if they want to. And I think a lot of, like, the Texas charts go off of Spotify spins, but unless you submit to their program, you can have one hit wonders, I guess, but.
Una promoción para Bucking Crazy. Bucking Crazy. Pick it up right now.
That one,
sí, claro, sí, claro, sí.
There you go. Yes, you got the voice, bro. You got it.
Bro, I used to, a little bit background on myself. I graduated with a bachelor's in journalism. And during my college days, I was DJing the bars, the club circuit here in the Valley. And, you know, I got to know a lot of the people in the industry. And then I moved on to a TV station, a Spanish TV station, early in the morning. So I was a stage manager there. And, you know, again, you get to meet so many people, and it was the best time of my life, but it doesn't pay the bills.
Yeah. Oh man. When I go back to the years of gigging and nights in the clubs, and, you know, that was great life, man. We had fun. Man. I got so many stories, but yeah, it's, you know, we could pay the bills, but it was a rough life, man. We missed a lot of, missed a lot of birthdays. We missed a lot of family gatherings. We missed, and I want to say maybe we were paying our dues at that time. Yeah. You know, and now we had this plan to go to Nashville about 5 years ago to do this. And it fell through at the end, and we just didn't get to do it. And maybe it wasn't the right time, you know?
Yeah.
And so now, when COVID hit and the industry collapsed and everybody was out of work, all the musicians, all the entertainment industry, I had a little bit of money saved up, and, you know, I told Roy, and Roy was down in the dumps. He had already kind of left music, and he didn't know what to do. And he had gone to work in the oil fields. And, you know, I called him up and I said, hey man, let's give it a shot. You want to do it one more time? And let's do it right, though. And he says, what does that mean? And I said, well, come on down. Let's talk about it. And he came over to the house and we talked about it. And I said, all right, let's go. He says, when? I said, right now. Let's take off. So he went home, packed the bag. We jumped in the car and drove up to Nashville. And we picked up our drummer. And he had just finished partying from the night before, I think. And he came out with sunglasses and a cap. And I said, hey, jump in the car, man. We're going to Nashville. Yeah.
Hold on. Can I go to Nashville?
Yeah, now you're ready. Of course, we're a bunch of weird dudes in shorts and chanclas over in Nashville. People probably thought we were kind of weird or whatever, but they received us very well.
Nobody in shorts and chanclas is weird.
Yeah, I know. But we jumped in the car, we drove 18 hours straight, got to Nashville, went straight to the studio, and Johnny was waiting for us, and we laid down the first track, and that's how it all happened. It just spur of the moment, let's just do it now, because if we plan it, it's, and we had the plan already, we just never executed on it.
So
COVID, I guess, was the impetus for it. Mm-hmm. Kind of pushed us to get it done, because we didn't have anything else to do. You're home, so we did it. And now you're seeing what the work we put into 4 or 5 months ago. That's what you're seeing, So it's been a great experience for us.
So I personally got married during COVID, and I hired a band by the name of The Spinoffs.
Hey, yeah, they're on our label. I remember now. Yeah. I think I had them yet. I just picked them up, but. Yeah, we've got him on the Bucking Crazy Management label. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So JR was my booking agent at the time, and JR was we got it together, and I thought the whole thing was going to just be non-existent, and we're gonna have to wait another year and so forth. But sometimes you just gotta jump in and move on and just do it, right? And that's what we did. We had a date of May 15th, 2020, 5/15/20. We like those numbers. So I said, we have to get it done. Come hell or high water.
Because we as a cover band, we have what we call privates, like your wedding, and we had maybe 19 or 20 contracted events of weddings, people mm-hmm. that, and they canceled, because of COVID. And so it's kind of sad, but I'm glad to hear that you went through with it anyway. I mean,
we got the cops called on us.
Oh yeah. I won't mention any names, Judge Cortez.
Yeah, but no, the reason why, I guess, we got to look at the ordinances and so forth. But
was it 100 at that point, or I don't know what it was. I mean,
shout out to Mission PD. Oh, it came out a little mission. yeah but nonetheless, man, we were able to complete our wedding here in the backyard, and JR became a good friend, and that's how I came in contact with you, because now you picked them up, right?
Yeah we've got them on the Bucking Crazy Management Bucking Crazy Productions. We're managing them now, and again, the industry hasn't really picked back up. There's a few venues that are restaurants/bars that can do their thing, and mm-hmm. and the Spinoffs they've just so talented, those guys, and they've got a great product to give out. So hopefully we can get some things going for them as well, and get some traction on them.
And above all, good people.
Yeah.
So talk to me about Jason Moreno, and what was his inspiration to go into music, man?
Well, I'll tell you, man, this is a great story behind this. So, I've always been into music. As a kid, when I was 7 years old, I asked my dad for a guitar. And my dad, who has no knowledge of music whatsoever, he bought a guitar from Sears and Roebuck. And I think he even ordered it from a catalog. And he came in, and it was right-handed, but I'm a lefty. And so I didn't know anything about music either. I just knew I wanted to play. So I learned how to play on that thing upside down, like Jimi Hendrix, And so I played music as growing up as a child. Roy and I, childhood friends, when we became teenagers, I guess maybe young adults, we would jam out, you know, in the backyard parties, you know, garage parties back then where people drew up their flyers on a piece of paper, cake parties, you know, we would jam out a little bit. And, you know, after high school, I took off to college and ended up getting married, raising a family, kind of left the music scene. Mm-hmm. Got divorced maybe 10, 11, 12 years ago. I don't even know. But I ended up at a concert at the Far Events Center, and Red Atkins was the headliner, and I was VIP with K-Tech because I was a big buyer of advertising at the time. I did a lot of radio commercials. Mm-hmm. So they gave me some passes, and I went and checked it out. I was there, and I heard somebody calling my name, Jason, from the backstage, and I was like, who's calling me? And it's Roy. And I hadn't seen Roy in a lot. And Roy had already started performing country. He was mainly Tejano during all that time. But
okay.
He had just started performing country. And he says, hey, man, we reconnected. He says, hey, I need some help. And I said, what's up? And he says, you know, come and help me with my project. I've got a country band I've been putting together. Come, I need some management. And I turned flat out, told him no. You know, I was drinking. I was going through bad times, you know, dark times, divorce, whatever, all that. And he went after me for a couple of months and finally got me on stage to do you know, we were at one of the local bars, and he says, hey, bring your guitar, just jam like the old days. And I got hooked, man. That's how he hooked me. And one night turned into two nights, turned into a week, and I just kept playing. And you know, at the time, they really didn't have management. I think Roy's brother helped him with booking and stuff, but there really wasn't an organized effort to promote the band or do anything. So I said, hey, man, look, okay, fine. I'll take the management job, but I still want to play. He says, okay, we'll do it both ways. And so that was it. I picked it up. I started managing and rebranded the whole band, reinvented ourselves. We got new band members. And we went right back out there, and man, for 6-7 years, we were gigging Wednesday through Sunday, mm-hmm. nonstop. We couldn't, I mean, sometimes we had two or three gigs on the same day.
Yeah.
And it was great money. It was good fun. But I don't, after, right before COVID hit, I think we were all just exhausted, you know?
Well, there comes a time when you just want to say, you know what? I want to retire.
Yeah.
You know?
And I think that's what happened to Roy. He just got exhausted also. And you know, Bugging Crazy kept playing because we had some obligations that we had to continue with, some contracts. Mm-hmm. We kind of, when Roy's decided to semi-retire or kind of take a break or whatever it was, it's like the Eagles. We didn't ever break up. We just took a break. You know, we had some obligations we had to meet. And so we kind of found a replacement to just fill in during the meantime. And then once that was done, we all took a break because we were just exhausted, you know, mm-hmm. 6-7 years nonstop of late nights and early mornings. And a couple of the guys in the band had real jobs. And you know, I left my career. I had a great career in human resources and marketing, and you know, at one point I was a C-level executive for a big firm, you know, and, mm-hmm. and I left all that to do music. And because I was not happy in the life I had, you know.
Man, and it's like they say, I mean, you never work a day in your life as long as you're doing what you love.
Yeah. Right?
And I'll be very honest with you, man. Like sometimes I think to myself, like, I'm an administrator, right? And I'm thinking to myself, okay. when is this over? When can I have like good fun? You know, but because I think back to like when I was gigging and when I was like out there having fun, you know, it was fun, and you're making connections. However, you know, you need to start creating a plan for retirement,
right?
And I think that's where people struggle.
I mean, the financial side of it is different, and you got to plan differently.
Yeah.
And you got to spend differently, and you got to live differently. But the security isn't there. You have to create it, you know?
Right.
And so it's a whole different lifestyle, but I embraced it. And, you know, it was, I talked to my kids. My kids live with me. I talked to them at the time, and I said, hey guys, look, things are going to change a little bit for a while, but I promise you, you know, we'll get back to where, you know, the lifestyle that we were used to living, you know. But even then, the more you make, the more you spend, bro. So, you know, unless
more problems.
Exactly. Right. So, I mean, I'm not the richest guy out there, but my bills are paid. My home is paid. My cars are paid. And, you know, I'm okay with the 2009 Dodge, you know, Odyssey, or what do I have? An Odyssey.
Dodge Dart.
I'm okay driving a minivan. I don't need the latest diesel truck or the latest iPhone. You know, I'm okay with.
Sí, claro que sí. Jason Moreno and his soccer mom vehicle.
Yes, sir. I get so much shit for that. Believe me, man.
But, hey, but you know what? It carries all the guitars. It carries all the drums. You know, it's the best.
It's got so many miles on it from going to West Texas and Abilene and all these areas. That's our traveling van. You know.
Yeah. So, yeah.
Yeah.
All the work kids come out of the van, looking like the Partridge Family, and so yeah. Hey.
We're not huerquitos, but they're big kids, you know.
In our hearts as parents, you know, they're still huerquitos.
Mm-hmm.
Man. Oh, hey, man. So I see you wearing an America hat. Are you a big patriot, or what's the status on that?
I'm a patriot. Yeah, I'm a patriot. Hey, you know, let me tell you, people ask me all the time, because I'm not afraid to say I vote for President Trump and I support him. But, you know, I'm a Christian. I'm an American with conservative values.
Gotcha.
You know, and that's what I am. I'm not Republican. I'm not Democrat. I'm not Libertarian. I'm none of those things. You know, I'm not affiliated. But at this point, you know, my choice is President Trump.
I'm a human being with American values, with conservative views.
Yeah.
I'm in the middle, but I'm a human being. I don't see color.
Right. It's such a
very polarized country, man.
Very sensitive topic right now. Like, if you bring it up anywhere.
Yeah.
I mean, people have gone as far as call me a racist, you know, and I'm
hombre.
Like, yeah, man. I mean, you know, at one point I was very vocal about things on my social media page, and we met with our people, you know, that are promoting the band now, and it's like, cut that out. Stop with that shit. And I was like, okay. You know, for some reason, musicians aren't supposed to have a voice, I guess, unless you're a liberal, but a liberal musician like Taylor Swift. But, you know, so for us, it was a stigma that they didn't want it to be attached to us. But I, you know, I believe in certain things. I was raised a certain way, you know, and people take offense to my beliefs. I don't force my beliefs on them.
Right. Right.
But they want to force me not to believe that way. And so when I stand my ground, people get so sensitive about it. I'm not forcing them to think my way. I'm not asking them to think my way. I'm just expressing how I feel and why, and why I do, you know, support. And it just got way out of hand in my opinion. You know, the world, the United States is just.
No, hombre, we live in a world right now where social media drives everything. And, you know, it just becomes so polarized. You know, you either believe one way or another.
Right.
And
there's no compromising. I mean, what happened to compromise?
Well, that's what I'm saying, man. That's what I'm saying. Like, what we need to understand is, you know what, Jason, I respect your views and I hope you respect mine too. You know, let's agree to disagree and move on.
Yeah. Go ahead. Some of my best friends are way out there on the left, you know, and, you know, that's totally fine. It doesn't matter. When we sit down and drink beer, you know, and make some music, that's all that matters. And,
right.
You know, but, But I've seen some extremists on both sides, to the right and to the left, that just don't, hey, don't talk to me anymore. I've lost friends because of, you know, they just don't agree with me. And, you know,
and you know what? Sorry. I can probably guarantee you that they don't even vote.
Probably, yeah. Yeah. It's crazy.
But anyways, man, so the Valley, you know, where we're at, you mentioned you got people like John Garcia, you have people like Jason, you have people like, you know, we've had, what is San Benito, Freddie Fender. We have people like the Pulidos. We have people like, you know, there's just a vast amount of individuals that come from the Valley.
Yeah.
And I think, I feel what I'm hearing is that there's just more exposure that needs to be done in a way where it doesn't hold you to this folk style.
Yeah, I mean, it's a different, I guess everybody has a different goal. Mm-hmm. You know, our radio promoter tells us a story about a guy by the name of Bubba in San Antonio. And he's gone now, but he was a local legend and he was totally happy with that. He went to Nashville. He tried to do his thing up there and he was making it pretty good, but he left all that. He didn't want to do that. And he came back to San Antonio and he was okay gigging in the dance halls and the bars and being that local legend. I mean, and we've had plenty of them, Steve Valdez, Bo Garza, you know, you mentioned a lot of names. And you know, it's different goals for everybody, but right now, right, our goal is to stretch that net beyond that regional act. We want, if we can get statewide, if we can get some national exposure, even international, I mean, we're open to that right now, so at this point in our life.
Yeah. Recently, I was watching this documentary on this one individual who blew up the internet. Yeah. And, you know, he also went to court, you know, snitched on some people and so forth. but he
Trayway.
But he created some kind of formula in his mind that he thought was a formula, and
I saw that documentary. I think I know what you're talking about.
Yeah. So what he says is, let me be as infamous as I can be, or let me just be completely out there as much as I can be. And sure enough,
and now everybody's copying him.
Do you see that as a problem, or do you see that How do you view that, man?
You know, he's a very talented guy. When I hear his music, if it makes you move your head like that, I mean, it's probably a good song.
Right.
My kids listen to it. I've never listened to like the lyrics, or I don't know, you know, all the subliminal stuff that, you know, whatever they say he says. But when it comes to the beat and the melody, I enjoy it. I like it. You know, there's certain times where I'm in that mood and I want to hear it, and I hear it. Can't mm-hmm. understand what he's saying most of the time, but he's got a great formula. But I never saw anybody so extreme as him when it comes to the look, you know, the facial tattoos, the colored hair, mm-hmm. when it comes to all of that. Now you see it's like the standard. Every yeah. artist that wants to be recognized is doing that, but he set the trend, you know, and he was years above his age, obviously, or he is, you know, and you know, maybe his antics, or maybe but it's all like a formula is what, you know, I remember that I watched the documentary, and it's a formula that he's happy with, and it's working for him. So,
yeah,
you know, I seem to take no issue with that, you know.
So
everybody's got a different plan.
So if Bucking Crazy goes into a bar and just starts trashing the place and goes on TMZ live.
Yeah,
can you imagine the views on that?
I think there's some video out there, a couple of bar fights that we started, but you know, who hasn't been in a bar fight, right? We're a little more conservative, I would say. I mean, we've trashed a couple hotels and whatnot, but
yeah,
I mean, you've got to pay for it, but you know, it was fun, you know.
No, hombre, like it seems that that's what people like, man. El mugrero.
Yeah.
Sucios.
Yeah. You know, when we've looked at analyzed our fan base, it's very family oriented.
Yeah.
You know, a big part of it is, 70% of our fan base comes is a female gender. You know, so you got to play to what your fans like, you know, I mean,
right.
You know, I think we understand our fan base pretty well. I guess that's why we get a lot of support from folks. We're never going to embarrass anybody or embarrass ourselves. I hope not, but I don't think you'll ever see us with a tattoo on our face though.
Oh man. Well, so I hope not either. Oh man. But will I see you guys in skinny jeans? No.
You'll never.
What do you think of that, man? Like I see some of these individuals that it's as they get older, they start trying to dress younger.
Oh yeah. I'm not going to shame anybody. If they feel comfortable in what you're wearing, then be happy with it. But you'll never see bucking crazy in skinny jeans. You know, my girlfriend is a big, what's his name? The country singer that, he wears the hat like that. I can't even think of his
Jason
name.
Jason Aldean.
No, older. He's married to the hot blonde chick.
I don't know, man. I hardly follow country. Hardly do I.
Yeah, he's a big Nashville hit. So, but he wears black plastic or leather skinny jeans and stuff, and black plastic hats, and it works for him. You know, he's right. One of the number one hit artists out there. He's probably had, you know, 16 or 17 number one hits. You know,
Tim McGraw.
Yeah, you'll never see us dressed like him though. But it works for him, right? You know. And you know, I guarantee when we went to Nashville, we saw a lot of skinny jeans. But hey, if it works for them and if kids like it and they're selling records, you know, all for it. You know?
Well, so I remember the days and the times of like there was two types of gangs, and it was the Pachucos and the Kickers.
Yeah, yeah.
Does that ring a bell?
You know what? And I got along with both. You know, I was both. But I'll tell you what I did wear this weekend. I wore a pair of bell bottoms, you know.
Where'd you get those?
Southern Comfort in Edinburgh. Okay. Yeah,
wow.
Yeah,
I got a pair of bell bottoms.
Yeah, they were pretty badass. I mean, they weren't the huge ones that stick out the whole way, but they were bell bottoms, and yeah, I think they're making a comeback or something like that. But
different. Wow. Is there a picture out there with you in bell bottoms?
Probably. Yeah. I think somebody's got a couple of red carpet pictures out there with the bell bottom.
Okay.
I'll send it to you.
Yeah. I think I already saw it.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what, man. So moving on with the radio, moving on merchandise, man. How, I mean, this one thing I've always heard is that where you make your money as a band is going to be at the shows, and it's through merchandising. Yeah. Is that correct?
That is correct. You know, we had a merch booth this weekend, and we made a couple grand off that. And you know, it's almost, you know, half of what you make as a total is just, you know, it's, you can't be out there without merchandise. I mean, and people love it. People love what they want to support you. They want to wear your shirt. They want to wear your cap. So we practically sold out this weekend, but you know, we don't have a store, and so we're not, we do it by the post office, you know, or Cash App, and people message us, hey, I want a cap. Okay, we'll send us the money. We'll send you the cap. And, you know, so, and other than that, we'll do it at the live performances. So,
right.
But yeah, that's big. Merchandising is a big part of it, a big part of the business. So if all the young bands are out there listening, or if they pay attention, you know, get yourself a cap or a t-shirt or something, and always have it with you and sell it, man.
You got to brand.
You got to brand it, man. You got to brand it.
I mean, I remember being in Edinburgh at a local place, and we had just opened up directly across from the university. And one of the guys at the time, I'm here DJing, but I had already ordered myself some flyers, and it had my name on there, JZL, you know?
Yeah.
And one of the things that I picked up quickly on is we got to take pictures with the flyers. And sure enough, man, one of the guys that was there, he looks at the owner. He says, I don't know where you got this kid, but this kid knows branding, and he's got it. And sure enough, man, there's just a whole bunch of pictures out there with JZL. And sure enough, it led to more people wanting, hey, JZO, are you going to be available? Can, you know, we heard your cuts, we heard your mixes, you know, can you come over here? Demand.
Definitely. Yeah. You got to create the buzz, man. And things are so, there's so many platforms now, it's kind of hard to keep up with everything. So, you know, we mainly stick to Facebook and Instagram, because that's where most of our fans, you know, are right now. But, you know, we'll do Snapchat filters and Twitter, you know, we'll do some campaigns on those also. But, you know, the merchant money for entertainment is in live performances right now and merchandise. And there's one artist here in the Valley, Rock and Roll James, who's like the master merchandiser. And so I've learned a lot from him. He's that guy can live off of merchandising, off of the merchandise he sells alone. You know, he's done a great job branding his music. You know, hopefully ours, and we've had maybe 8 or 9 different lines of shirts, and, you know, 4 or 5 different designs of caps. We never seem to be able to keep them in stock, but, you know, that's probably an area where we can improve upon, you know, getting those online sales as well. But that's boring, man. People don't want to hear that, do they?
I would like to see some of that merch, man. I mean, I'm not gonna lie to you. Like, I saw that cap earlier. And I'm like, where can I get one of those? So I think Joe's Bod Podcast is definitely going to be rocking one pretty soon.
Yeah, man. We got the red one too. Red.
Nice. So, hey, man, let me ask you this question. Let's close a segment with just relevant topics of what's going on in America right now. And we got a fight coming up. You know, that's a very interesting fight. It's going to be a boxing match between Mike Tyson.
Mike Jones Jr. Yeah. What is that, Friday night?
That's
Saturday.
Usually boxing matches are on Saturdays. I believe it's on Saturday.
Yeah. I want to watch that, but man, I don't know who I'm going to support.
But too bad you're going to be gigging on Saturday.
No, actually, I think we're on a break. I think we're on break for the rest of the year. Right. Yeah, we got to go back to studio mid-December, so I don't think we're gigging the rest of the year. If we do something, it'd be a small acoustic gig or something. But Mike Tyson, man, I grew up watching that guy, dude, and I like his. I've seen his documentary too. I like the guy, but Roy Jones Jr. He's just a great guy too, man. He's a good athlete, you know, and he's respectable and he's respected. And so I don't know who I want to win, man. Who are you going for?
Well, here's the thing, man. Mike Tyson, I mean, we got to remember these guys are in their 50s. Not knocking anybody in their 50s. I'm just saying we're not as good as we once were.
Oh, of course, man. I'm still recovering from this weekend.
And you know, just off of that alone, you know what I'm saying? One of the things they said, this is for charity. So is it really going to be a fight?
Oh, yeah.
You know?
And I've been so disappointed with boxing in general for the last few years. It just seems, I don't want to say fixed, but once you get a rematch, you know, and a split decision, and just to get another rematch, and there's 3 fights, you know, come on, man, let the guy win, whoever won. I've seen so many fights where, you know, the Oscar De La Hoya should have won and he didn't get it, you know, I think the competitive spirit in an athlete lives and is bigger than any kind of exhibition plan that they might have. So I think we're going to see some punches, man. I don't know if they can. How many rounds are they going?
They're going 8 rounds.
Oh, damn. That's a lot. Yeah, man. I think I'm going to pull for Mike Tyson, man. Yeah.
That guy,
he needs something positive in his life, man.
In other news, in otras noticias, you got Canelo Alvarez that just left the zone.
Yeah.
And he's going to be boxing at the end of the year is what I'm hearing.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, yeah.
I haven't followed that very much, so I don't know if I can speak intelligently on it.
Well, you know, like, he had a contract with DAZN and Golden Boy Promotions, right, and so forth, but he decided to say, you know what, I'm breaking off, right, and I'm gonna do things my way. Yeah. And so I guess the biggest question here is, do you think he has enough to do it his way, or did he need DAZN?
Man, again, that's just so close to home. Hits close to home because, you know, like in our world, the music world, you know, doing things on your own as an independent, you got to kick and claw and scratch and fight. And there's the big boys up on top that are always going to push you down.
Right.
Because they don't want you in their market taking a piece of what they got, you know. And if you're going to take a piece of it, you got to play by the rules and conform. So, I'll always support the underdog, you know. So more power to him, and I hope he can do it. I hope people support his effort, you know.
So and to close this out, I think I told you, it seems that Donna's on the map recently in my radar. They've been in my radar recently some way, somehow. Yeah. I don't know what's going on, but I mean, I had recently Sean Meck on the show. And yeah. Sean Meck is a hip hop artist. Like, yeah. So my question is, like, you know, is your brand of Buckin' Crazy Productions just strictly rock and country, or is it versatile?
You know, we can do anything. When we do a private session for someone or a private show, we'll mix it up. We can do Tejano, cumbias, waltzes, uh-huh, country, Texas country, classic country, rock and roll. I mean, heck, we've even done some hip hop before. So when you told me about Sean, I looked him up right away and I said, I'm going to get this guy to open up for us next time. You know, we got to support our hometown heroes, you know. I love the city. I come from Donna. We've got Donna's not, you know, the a lot of people have negative connotations about our town.
They're always in the news, right?
They're always in the news. I don't know what it is, but, you know, there's always something to say about Donna. But you know what? There's a lot of great people here. There's a lot of artists, very talented artists that come out of Donna. I'm glad these guys are getting some exposure. I'm glad you're helping them. You know, Donna doesn't do a great job of supporting their own people, but we support ourselves. You know, we get a lot of love from the people, but the establishment, the politics, you know, there's just not the infrastructure there to support, you know, people that are coming out of down as talented folks and making it somewhere. They don't kind of claim them.
You know, funny you say that, because recently I was having this conversation and what we can do, any city, any entity, working collaboratively to try to bridge the gap, so to speak. So if there's a need, for example, for Buckin' Crazy Country to farm students or to farm kids towards that country music sound, we can collaborate with different partnerships and say, you know what, this is something that we're providing, we're offering. You know, we can work with you guys to try to gear and probably produce more, you know, future talent.
Definitely. Yeah. Yeah. We've done a lot of homegrown stuff here. Grassroots efforts for, you know, trying to promote the you know, not just ourselves, but give back to the community, I guess. Mm-hmm. And so we've done a lot of things at the high schools and at the different schools. Man, we're game to help out any way we can. You know, the city of Mission, aren't you from Mission?
Is
a great community. They love us to death. They love live music, any genre, and a lot of the establishments out there work in collaboration with each other, I guess, to promote and to you know, make the city a destination for live music. And I applaud their efforts and I love everything they do. We just did our release party this weekend in Mission. and worked with the local seed there. I guess it was the food park and 5x5 Brewery and a couple other establishments. But we've always performed in Mission and always felt the love and everything. And I wish Donna would do would follow those footsteps. They've tried to have concerts before here, but again, it's very political. You know, there's so much talent here in Donna. Why not use that talent instead of farming it out, you know? But hey, that's not my call, right? But Mission certainly is the roadmap, I would say.
But then you have individuals that are coming up, for example, such as myself, who is a very open-minded individual. And, you know, I'm thinking, this is the way I'm thinking right now.
Yeah.
I've been in the music industry as a DJ, not as a musician, but just as a DJ. Yeah. I've made connections with individuals that have been business owners. You know, I mean, you're talking about the one that comes to my mind right away is now Harley Davidson, what used to be La Via Real.
Oh, the Via Real, yeah.
I mean, you talk about individuals, you know, of that caliber that have influence. Why not reach out to these individuals and say, you know what, let's try to create a blueprint so that we can collaborate. I mean, you're looking at if you go back to history, I mean, we had Menudo play the McAllen Memorial Stadium.
Oh, yeah.
Many years ago.
Yeah.
You know, and I've always said this. I'm like, well, if it was done before, why can't we do it now? Well, we did with Pitbull, and that's another story. Iglesias.
Julio, his son, yeah.
What's
his name? I'm forgetting. I remember that. It was during the parade, yeah.
Right. So we recently did it, but like for a parade, but it came with it came with a negative connotation, you know, because, you know, money. So it goes back to these things. Like, if we're going to do it, we got to do it right.
Well, tax dollars shouldn't be used to make people feel good. I mean, you're supposed to use it to make them feel bad. I mean, come on, guys. I mean, I don't know. They had what their measurement of success was. But, you know, when you get a guy as talented as that or as high profile as that, you know, into the valley, that's great for everybody.
Right.
You know, same thing happened, I think, with Toby Keith in
Far. Far.
Yeah. Just so many people knocking it and not supporting the promoters. And I know there's a whole lawsuit about all that stuff also, but, you know, I don't understand why people don't want to support the artistry of live, making live music. You know, it brings people together. People feel great when they're listening to music, you know, and I think any person who's had any type of mood swing or as any type of, they can attribute a song to every defining moment of their life. And it's just beautiful, man. And I think the municipalities should embrace that, you know. We could have venues like San Antonio and the other markets and amphitheaters here and there. And I'm starting to see some of those pop up, you know, like the Island at that,
at Clayton's.
I guess Clayton's, Las Palmas also has an amphitheater. Yeah, you know, people are starting to embrace it a little bit. So, you know, the community hopefully will come around. You know, we'd be happy to help in any way we can, you know.
And I think that's where we're headed, or we were headed, but then COVID hit, right? Because
you're right. Yeah,
because we had that amphitheater at that soccer stadium, we have Bird Ogden Arena coming through, and we're getting a lot more acts. We have, like you said, Sal Padre. I mean, we have so many venues now that we didn't have before. Right.
That's
but,
true.
But like you said, man, I think we need to remove the stigma of like, of wasting tax dollars or we just need to really do it right.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And because at the end of the day, we're trying to produce something, you know, to benefit a community, a society.
Yeah.
Right. Now, you know, if we do it right, in theory, it should work and it should produce more. But once you start messing around with like things that are not reported, that's where you draw a fine line.
That's the problem, man. You get, I mean, absolute power corrupts, or whatever they say that saying is. But then you got the same people that are saying, okay, why are we wasting our tax dollars? The same people are saying, there's nothing to do in the valley, you know? So it's hard to make people happy, you know? And I think if the valley as a whole, or even communities individually, can, you know, just decide to say, hey, look, individual lifestyle or music, this music thing is part of our master plan, then just make it and go for it. You know, you're not going to mm-hmm. please everybody, but I guarantee you everybody enjoys music.
Oh, yeah.
One person who doesn't. So
I mean, music is the most democratic thing I've ever heard of.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know about that, but yeah.
I'm just messing around with you.
The making of it anyway, yeah.
Jason, man, it's been a beautiful time just talking, collaborating, and discussing music. It's been a pleasure having you on board. I look forward to any more collaborations. Maybe we can get John Garcia on here. Maybe we can get Roy Torres on here.
Yeah, definitely, brother. Yeah.
I would definitely appreciate that. But, you know, Roy Torres, let's play that one song again, man. What was it called?
Heartbreak Song.
Heartbreak Song, man. We're going to exit with that one. Here we go. Yeah. So if you're just listening, Roy Torres, Fucking Crazy, Heartbreak Song. Where can we find this?
Right now you can find it on all music platforms, iTunes, Amazon, YouTube. YouTube has our new video on it also.
And
search up Roy Torres and Fucking Crazy.
On all social media platforms. Like, share, subscribe.
Yep. If you can, do it on Spotify. That's on the charts.
All right. Jason, man, it's been a pleasure. Thank you so much, man.
Love it, brother. Thank you for having me. Appreciate it.
Yes, sir.
It.
Have a great day. God bless you.
Thank you. God bless you.